like just started hitting record, so you probably get a little hey. Hey, little creeps and freaks.
Creepies and freakies. Don't make me laugh. I'm gonna start coughing.
You've told me this like 10 times already. I can't help that I'm funny, damn it.
You truly can't. Today you are the comedian of the group.
You're like, it's so far and few between.
It's rare, okay? I'm just kidding.
I was telling my mom about, we were talking about Tornadoes.
Tornadoes.
The other day, there's like a little baby Tornadoes down by their house the other day.
Ah,
didn't, I don't think it actually touched down. But
I think it was just
them,
a funnel.
Yeah, but I was telling them about like when there was one like forming outside of my apartment complex a few years ago.
Oh.
And I was like, Winston and I went to the pet store and then I was standing outside watching it because I'm a freak. And I was like, let's go with his Tornadoes.
Oh,
my mom was laughing so hard. She's like, I can just picture you saying that. And I'm like,
you're like, and? Like, it's yes. So cool.
Let's go, Ethan.
Let's go.
Anyways.
Welcome
back to the In the Nick of Crime podcast.
Yes. I
can't breathe.
I know. Michelle and I were just talking about our asthma is, like, out of control.
Yeah, it's really poopy.
Oh, no.
Courtney's still hacking up along like she smokes a pack a day.
I don't smoke.
At all.
Anyway.
Sorry. For those that haven't listened before, we're a weekly true crime podcast.
Look at you being funny.
Sort of a weekly true crime podcast. I'm always funny,
you
motherfucker.
Are. You're just really entertaining today.
Okay, oh, thanks.
Like you're in like a different, like you're in like
I
a.
I only got like 4 hours to sleep last night, so
that's
probably
fair.
Why.
I didn't fall asleep till 5 a.m.
I'm gonna like ground you from watching that fucking shit that you watch. Because, bro, that's good for your brain anyway. You're sitting here watching these dramas over and over, your brain is gonna be ill.
I mean, to be quite honest with you, I'm also learning other languages while watching
well, that's
it.
True.
So, it's not terrible for your brain.
Anyways,
I digress.
We're usually a weekly true crime podcast, but we also like to do some spooky, spooky, spooky shit.
And usually I'm the comedian, but today it's Michelle's job. Welcome to the party.
Wow.
You only saw the hand gesture I just got. It was great. And it wasn't even a middle finger.
Courtney likes to act like I'm never funny.
Oh, no. Michelle's funny. Trust me. She's probably more funny than I am. And I'm not even being sarcastic. I'm being dead serious. She laughed at it because you thought I was being sarcastic.
No, I didn't at all. We're just very different kinds of funny. So
yes.
It's, yeah, when we both are in, like, rare form, it's a...
It's great.
It's the time.
Oh, my God. We need to record
anyway,
this podcast. What is your weekly fuckery, my dude?
I told Courtney I was going to do an update on Brian Koberger, but I want to wait until his trial is done since it's already underway. So I was, like, looking at true crime news. And People.com always has, like, the
dude, I
best,
love
like,
people.
Fuckery stories.
I always go to people for
and
fuckery.
The first thing that comes up,
oh,
I was like, golden.
Solid.
So the title is, two inmates escape from Ohio prison by hiding in a dumpster.
That's not the most backwoods criminal thing I've ever heard.
Look at these fuckers. The one looks like Tweedledee and
Tweedledum. I was about to just say that. Oh my god. Like literal Tweedledee and Tweedledumers.
Yeah. They look like a couple of fuckers.
They were trying to get
Chuckies.
Back to Wonderland, okay?
Yeah. So, Allen Oakwood Correctional Institution is where they were housed. Bradley Gillespie is one of them. He's the one that's on the left, I believe, in the photo. And then the dude with the face. His name is James Lee.
James Lee?
Yeah. So
wow.
As of this morning, or as of yesterday morning, the other guy hadn't been located yet. So, woof. They escaped after hiding in a dumpster, and they caught one, but still looking for the other. So, the Henderson Police Department in Kentucky, they're looking for them, so they must have crossed state lines. James Lee and he escaped by reportedly concealing themselves in a dumpster and making their way to Kentucky. So, I don't know what dumpsters, like, picking up, what people are picking up trash in Ohio and taking it to Kentucky, but whatever.
I mean, maybe they're on the border.
Yeah, they're close to each other. So, yeah, I don't know.
Wow.
But there was a car, they must have stolen it, like, lifted it from someone, but they found a car that they believe that both of the dudes were in the day before. This was on Wednesday that they said, so they escaped a hot minute ago. So, I don't know.
So, homeboy's just on the run?
Yep. Yep. They said the department first shared news of their escape following the warden's prisoner counts on Tuesday when it was discovered the men were missing. I'm sorry, but, like, going out with the trash is, like, one of the oldest tricks in the book.
Mm-hmm. I was just thinking, like, that. I was like, how come on, is people. That even a thing anymore? Like, right. Or going right. out with the laundry, that's the other one.
Yeah, exactly. They must have found them in the car. They made it sound like they found the car empty. But I guess they were stopped at a traffic stop when they were both in the vehicle. And it says, after a short, in quotation marks, pursuit, both men fled on foot. And Lee, who was driving, was apprehended. So the dude, and the other dude, he got away. His shoe was located two streets away. So he's just hopping around one shoe off.
He was running so hard, he ran his shoe off. Damn.
I don't want to joke if they're violent criminals.
I hope they're not. But, like,
what idiots. So, that's some fuckery.
That is some fuckery.
Yeah.
Wow.
But the other guy, I guess his daughter, is, like, pleading to the media to try to get him to turn himself back in. She said, quote, "Hey, Dad, if you're hearing this, I'd prefer you turn yourself in before something bad happens. I want you in my life. I want you at my wedding. I don't want anything bad to happen. So if you could please just turn yourself in before anybody gets hurt, I would appreciate it. We want you safe. We want you back. We want nothing bad to happen." End quote.
Wow, that's a very big person right there. Holy hell.
So it seems like they weren't, I was going to say, it seems like they weren't violent, but I may be saying corrected. It just sounds like he's supposed to get out of prison. But he says that Gillespie was seen with a pronounced limp in a video from a Home Depot parking lot in Evansville, Indiana. So he's fucking getting around. And says in 2016 he was convicted of 2 counts of murder and sentenced to a pair of consecutive 15 to life sentences. How is he supposed to be at his daughter's wedding then?
I mean, I wonder if they, like, allow special circumstances for stuff like that.
Yeah, maybe where, he can, like, get, like, have, like, leave. I thought you could only get that for, like, funerals, though.
I don't know. I don't know how it works. I've never known every state's system, different. So.
Yeah, me either. So, clean record here. So, yeah. That's some fuckery.
I give that girl a lot of props, because that's very mature and very, like, human.
Yep.
I think we tend to forget that everybody is human.
Right, exactly.
In this world. Yes. And I thought that was a very, very cool statement by her.
Yeah, I agree. Because she could have, like, chosen to seek him out and harbor a fugitive.
True.
Yeah, so.
And she's definitely asking him to continue praying for his penalties and, like, to come back safely. Yeah.
Pay your debt to society. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. Oh. Crazy.
Crazy. That is a good fuckery.
Mm-hmm.
That's wild.
Yeah. Some fuckery. So, yeah, that's what we've got now. What do you have for us today?
So this case is wild. So I started working on this. There's something weird with you and I about cases.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what the deal is. I told Michelle this before I even started. I started working on this case last week,
mm-hmm.
right after we finished your case.
Yeah.
And it was just a case. I try to find cases that I've never heard of that are generally don't have documentaries and things like that, just because, like, I feel like they're the ones that we don't hear from very much.
Yeah, because the other ones are just overdone, you know? And we would just be telling the same story over and over again.
The weird part about that for me is that they all tend to be old cases, right? Yeah. Like, it's very hard to find a, like, not necessarily current case, but, like, in the, you know, 2019 to 2023 time frame.
Right.
So I was like, all right, you know what? I'm still going to do this case anyway. And then, as your girl is like, da-da-da, doing all my research, all of a sudden, I find out that there's, like, literally been an update in this case 5 days ago.
See? I feel like cases call to us.
They do.
And I'm not saying we're, like, some crazy higher power. I'm just saying, like, for some reason, these, like, pop up for us.
Yeah.
And they need to be told.
Yeah, and I feel like this
there's a purpose.
Beautiful girl's voice needs to be heard. And this had me on a topsy-turvy, twisty spin.
Topsy-turvy, twisty spin.
Yep. Okay. Say that five times fast. and I was shook by this whole case. And yeah. I was like, it was hard for me to finish my research, actually, because I was like, I didn't, it was one of those things of like, my ADD kicked in the sense of like, I already knew the ending.
Mm-hmm.
At least I thought I knew the ending. Right. And that's when I was like, I don't want to finish this. I don't like the ending. And I do that because of my ADD. It's really bad. I won't finish TV shows if I know the ending and I don't like it.
Yeah.
It's very frustrating for me. That's why I like dramas, because I can't guess the storyline. Whereas like with American dramas, I can. And with these ones, I can't. And so I'm like, oh, this is exciting. But like, that's why this case was hard for me to finish. But then when I found out that I didn't actually know the ending, I was on a mission.
Okay. All right.
So here we go. I'm going to talk about the murder of Sharon Pryor.
Okay.
Sound familiar?
Yes, it does.
You might actually know this case.
Yeah.
And it's not even in the U.S.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So, Sharon Pryor, she was born February 9th of 1959.
Okay.
In Montreal, Canada.
Nice. Okay.
Yes. Her mother was actually born in England.
Okay.
And her mother's parents later emigrated to Montreal when her mother was a child.
Mm-hmm.
And in Montreal is where her mother, Yvonne, meets her father, George, while he was a private in the Canadian Armed Forces. Sharon's parents got married and had their first child, which was Sharon.
Yeah.
And the day before her second birthday, her twin sisters, Doreen and Maureen, were born.
Aww.
Yes.
Holy cow.
Yes.
Three children.
Within 2 days.
That's crazy.
So Sharon apparently was very excited to be a big sister, and she looked at the twins' birth as her birthday present that year. Like,
aww.
If this tells you anything about how precious this woman was, like,
that's so precious.
It's adorable.
She's like, these are my babies.
Yes,
these are my
very excited aww. About the twins, and like, could care less about her birthday. Like, it was all about the twins.
I just love when toddlers are like good older siblings, because it's so precious.
Oh, so cute. Or I love the ones that are like, absolutely not, and they just have so much attitude towards the baby that you kind of have to laugh because it's funny.
I saw this video of this like three-year-old kid, and it's been a long time ago, but there was like their parents had a newborn, and I think they were like visiting at the hospital, and this kid straight up flipped the baby off.
I'm pretty sure that was my brother when I came along.
Like this bitch.
He was like, damn it. My sisters were excited. My brother was like,
I'm having none of it.
Yeah, he was not happy. okay, so her dad, soon after the twins are born, actually gets orders to move to Point St. Charles in Manitoba, I think is how you say it.
Manitoba. Sorry, Canadians.
Dude, I love Canada. Can I just say that? Like, you guys are just... I want to be like Canada someday.
Canada is just so fascinating how many different facets of it there are.
Yes.
Because there's like Quebec, you literally just have like people that are just, you know, they speak English, and then whole section of people that are just only speaking French.
Yeah.
Like Quebecois and like Manitoba and...
But then you've like got like all these Montreal.
Newfoundland and...
Right. But then you've got like Montreal, and then you've got Toronto. And by the way, it's Toronto. There is no T at the end of Toronto. I hate how Americans do that. We call it Toronto.
Well, that's how it's spelled.
There is no T.
No, there is.
It's
you
Toronto.
Out your damn mind. There is
it's
definitely
Toronto.
No.
There is a T at the end of it, yes, but it's said Toronto. Like, you
I
don't...
said, but there is a T. And he's like,
oh,
no, there's not.
Sorry. My bad. I have selective hearing
like,
every time we talk.
Ever.
It's fine. But yeah, it's actually pronounced Toronto. Mm-hmm. Like, I've literally had a whole entire podcast episode that I've watched of somebody from Toronto who's like, no, dude, you say it Toronto. It's not Toronto. And I was like, oh.
Well, then don't spell it that way.
Saying it wrong the whole time. Anyway, I digress. So soon after they move, the last child is born.
Okay.
Which is their brother, and he is George Jr.
Mm-hmm.
So last boy of the group, which I think is really adorable. So they end up living here for a hot minute and realize that, like, the marriage is turning pretty sour at this point. And their relationship between Yvonne and George really started going downhill. Mm-hmm. So Yvonne and George actually ended up separating, and Yvonne ended up moving back to Point of St. Charles, which, yeah, they had to move from Point of St. Charles. So I don't know if I said that earlier, but his orders were to move from there.
Okay, gotcha.
And they had to go to Manitoba. So they originally lived in Point St. Charles, and she ended up going back to Point St. Charles as a single mother of four children.
Oof. And young children at that.
Very young children. Yikes. Because, I mean, I think Sharon at this point is probably, like, maybe 7, 8. She's not very old.
Right.
So Sharon was described as a shy, cute-faced, simple, loving, and caring girl as she grew up.
Mm-hmm.
She loved animals. She was known for taking in strays and nursing them back to health.
Aww.
Like, she's just a beautiful human all around.
I'm having deja vu right now.
Probably.
Like, of you talking about this story.
Weird. Stop getting into my brain. You're creeping me out. Savoyant over here. You're so weird.
My brain gets in, like, a weird space when I'm sleep deprived.
Hey, that's fair.
Yeah.
So, her sisters were actually quoted as saying that Sharon aspired to be a veterinarian later in life. She was shy and quiet, but she was able to find people and actually ended up joining the Boys and Girls Club,
mm-hmm.
which, by the way, I did not know was still a thing.
Yeah, it definitely is.
It's not big here in Colorado. I very rarely hear about it here. When I go to my family in Oregon, I hear about it all
the
time. It's
because it is more like outdoors focus now, more so than it used to be, but it was really big when I was younger. Like, even, like, when I was in high school, I would still hear about it a lot in the springs.
Maybe I was just sheltered. I mean, who knows?
Well,
comes from private school children.
Yeah.
Oh, don't send your kids to private school. So, like I said, she joined the Boys and Girls Club,
mm-hmm.
where she actually started participating in floor hockey league, which I was like, badass, like, let's go. She also got into arts and crafts classes.
I love that.
Yeah. Yvonne is quoted as saying, Sharon was a cautious child, but she stayed out of trouble and all around behaved.
Good.
So, like,
yeah.
This, I really think if she had survived, she would have been a phenomenal human.
Right.
By 1975, Sharon was a typical 16-year-old girl doing things that teenagers do, doing things they love.
Mm-hmm.
She loved music. She was dating her crush since fourth grade.
Aww.
His name is John. Super cute. She had a close group of friends and was appreciative of her mother.
Mm-hmm.
Her relationship with her mother seemed very best friend-ish and not exactly a mother and child. And I think a lot of that comes from the fact of she raised all four kids pretty much by herself.
Right.
And I feel like Sharon was kind of like the second parent.
Yeah, it's like her being the oldest. Yeah. It's like at that point you kind of become a confidant for your parent because they can rely on you more. Mm-hmm. And
And I think it strengthened their relationship because from what I've understood in all the research I did, like, there were no issues with Sharon and Yvonne. Like, it was a very healthy relationship between the two of them. Yeah.
That's so awesome.
So, March 29th, 1975, remember this date for later on when I'm talking, but March 29th of 1975 started as a normal day for Sharon. Okay. Yvonne had to go out and finish some preparing for things because Easter dinner was actually the next day.
Okay.
And Sharon really wanted to help make the holiday even brighter for her younger siblings, so she started off her day by decorating Easter eggs. Like, that's all she was focused on was the kids.
Yeah.
Once she was done, she had to go run some errands. And as I previously said, like, Sharon was a member of the Boys and Girls Club. And being part of that and being in their sports programs was that you sell raffle tickets to get your very own Leo Boys Letterman jacket, which I don't know if you've ever seen this jacket.
I probably have.
It reminds me of Oregon, again, because it's Oregon colors. It's green and yellow, which...
Yeah, that's what I pictured in my head, so I must have seen it.
Yeah, and it's kind of cool. So I did a little bit of research into, like, what that actually was.
Mm-hmm.
So this actually came from the creator of Leo Boys Sports Association. His name is Joe Mel.
Mm-hmm.
His brother Leo actually died of leukemia at the age of 17.
Aww.
So it's kind of like a thing that he did in honor of his brother's name, which
like
I thought
commemorative.
That was really kind of cool. So if you sell enough tickets or raffles, you get this jacket.
Nice.
Yeah, it was really cool.
Yeah.
So Sharon had done this. She had sold enough raffle tickets, and she was so excited because she was finally going to go pick up her jacket.
Yeah.
But when she got there, they didn't have her size.
Rude.
I know. So they had to give her a receipt so she could return and get her size another day when they had it in. Which is, like, bummer central, if you ask me.
Right.
She went back home, and her mom distinctly remembers that time. She had made stew for the family, and she had said that, you know, Sharon and the kids really weren't that fond of this stew, but, like, ate it anyway because they love their mother, and they knew, like, that's what they could afford.
Yeah.
You know?
Fair.
Right? And this, like, if this doesn't tell you how well she raised these children, like, the fact that, one, they're eating it even though they don't like it, mm-hmm. and they don't complain about it.
Right.
The two, they all help her clean up after dinner.
Aww.
Yeah.
What precious babies.
Like, these are it's a beautiful family.
Yeah,
like,
absolutely.
I'm shook at how little problems a family of five with a single mother have in this family. Like, it is beautiful to watch.
Just caring children.
Very caring children, yes.
That's awesome.
She helps her mom clean up, get everything ready. She actually ends up hiding the eggs that she had decorated for the children for the next morning. Like, that was, like, she helped her mom like that, hid them in places so that it was ready to go for the next morning. She then asks her mom if she can go with her friends to a place called Marina's Pizzeria.
Mm-hmm.
Pizzeria. Say it 5 times fast. It's a local hangout spot for kids, and it's only about 5 blocks from her house.
Right. And I'm so sorry, how old did you say that she was at this point?
16.
16, okay.
So between 6 o'clock and 7 o'clock that night, a friend of Sharon stopped by to keep Sharon company while she was getting ready.
Mm-hmm.
This friend and Sharon had actually been really good friends for a long time, but they were in two completely different circles of friends because they went to two different schools.
Oh, okay.
So she just came to hang out, like, knew she was going to go hang out with these other friends, but just wanted to come have a good time with
them. Yeah, for sure.
So around 7 o'clock that night, Sharon and her friend leave the house, and they end up going separate ways because her friend wants to go home. And Sharon said, I don't need you to follow me. It's fine.
Yeah.
Like, go home. I'll see you later.
Yeah.
So they go separate ways, and Sharon goes off to the pizzeria.
Mm-hmm.
Sharon's friends actually waited for her. She never showed up.
Yeah.
Her friends thought that she was with her boyfriend John and the other hockey boys because they had a game that night.
Okay.
So they were like, eh, she's probably there. She'll meet us when they're done.
Sure, yeah.
But when the boys show up, Sharon's not with them.
And she was supposed to be at the hockey game?
She was supposed to be at the pizzeria.
Okay, because that's what I was going to say. Like, her boyfriend didn't, like, think anything of it. Okay.
Yeah, and he didn't because he didn't know that she was, like, possibly going to come to the game. Like, everyone had the idea that she was coming to the pizzeria.
Sure, yeah.
So, soon after this, Sharon's curfew passes with no sign of her. She doesn't call her mom to tell her, like, where she's from, like, where she's at, like, why she's late, nothing.
And I would assume this is very...
It's out of character for her, yes. So, her mother and the twins stayed up all night watching for Sharon to come home. And in the early morning, Yvonne started calling John, which is Sharon's boyfriend, and her friends to see if anyone had seen her, but none of them had seen her. So they were like, what's going on? Like, we thought she was with you. Like,
yeah. Well, and like there was three different places she could have been. And it's like all of the people that were, you know, in her orbit that night thought she was at one of these other places.
One of them,
so none of them thought that there was anything going on.
Yeah, nobody actually thought twice about it.
Well, and like teenagers, it's not the first thing that you jump to anyway.
No. And especially in the 70s. Like, let's be real.
Right. Yeah.
This was, like, the start. We've talked about it many times of, like, you know, stranger danger and, you know, kids running away. And I put that in quotations because, you know, the police didn't want to do their job and all this other stuff. Like, there's so many shitty things that were happening at this time. Mm-hmm. Like, she was failed.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Unfortunately. So, Yvonne calls one of Sharon's friends. Her name is Mary.
Mm-hmm.
And Mary is quoted as saying, I don't mean to worry you, Miss Pryor, but a woman was attacked on Ash Avenue sometime after 7 p.m.
Okay.
And what time did she leave the pizzeria?
She left her house for the pizzeria at 7 a.m. Okay.
For some reason, I thought you said she still went to the pizzeria and then her and her friend separated from there. Nope. Okay, I apologize.
No, you're good.
My brain's slow today.
It's all good. So the victim that was actually attacked was a 23-year-old woman named Cheryl Roy.
Okay.
She was attacked by him with a knife, but before he could do much more to her, he was actually scared off by another passerby.
Okay.
Cheryl described the man as having blue eyes, a mustache squared at the corners of his mouth. He spoke lowly and, like, in a very low, quiet tone. And he was wearing blue jeans, a blue ski jacket, and pointed blue black shoes, which she thought was very odd.
The fuck? Mm-hmm. He's got some, like, mutton chops, dude. Wearing a ski jacket and some pointed shoes. Bro. The fuck is that style choice, bro?
Right? This news obviously worries Yvonne.
Right.
One, because it's terrifying to know. But two, that's the same direction Cheryl was traveling in. Sharon. Jeez, speak, Courtney. It's Sharon and Cheryl.
Sharon and Cheryl. Okay. Yeah.
So Sharon is the 16-year-old. Cheryl's the 23-year-old.
Right.
Cheryl's actually brought to the police station to try to identify her attacker, but unfortunately she could not, so nobody was charged with her attack.
Fuck. I know. That happens. But it's like, you can't just guess, you know?
Right? So, this disappearance of Sharon, like, really shook this community, because if you know anything about this community, it's a very tight-knit, at the time, I'm not sure if it still is, but very tight community, very quiet, not a lot happens, like, you don't fear your child walking 5 blocks and disappearing.
Exactly. And it's like a place that you've lived for years. Like, there's never been any other reason to worry about them like that. Jeez.
Yep. So, the search officially starts to locate her.
Mm-hmm.
And even after her mom went on TV and requested information or help in locating Sharon, stuff is not coming from it.
Right.
News started spreading that maybe Sharon ran away. Like I said, this is the 70s. That was everybody's go-to when teens went missing. Mm-hmm. Oh, she ran away. Like, but as we said earlier, Sharon's family distinctly said that's not in her character.
Right.
Like, that's not her.
Right, exactly.
She would have no reason to run.
Right.
They said that there was no reason for her to run because she loved her family, she loved her friends, she loved her boyfriend, she left no sign of running, her bus pass was still there, her money was still at home, like, things that you would normally take with you to run away were not missing.
Right, exactly. And that just wasn't her.
Right. And like, again, like I said, this time was just a really shitty time for kids.
And it just stinks because it was, like, coming off of the 60s when people would just kind of get a bug up their butt to just go be free, go hitchhike and explore. And
so dangerous.
Right. And
my grandma hitchhiked to Woodstock.
Girl. Like, I'm the like, fact that Stranger Danger, like, that wasn't a thing back then, and there were so many serial killers at that time, like,
yeah, a bunch of people who've gone missing, I guarantee you were serial killer victims.
Oh, 1,000%.
April 1975, things take a turn that no one's ready for.
Right.
Yvonne says that she was up around 6 a.m., and she saw a familiar-looking man knocking on the door of her friend's house across the street.
Okay.
And he had a rolled up newspaper under her arm. And it caught her off guard because she was like, first off, it's 6 a.m.
Right.
Second off, you look familiar. Like, what?
Right.
And so she ends up, like, realizing that it's an acquaintance of hers.
Okay.
Whose name is Ronnie. And so she calls out to him, like, what are you doing this early in the morning knocking on her door?
Right.
And I guess she said that when he responded, he literally responded with the word nothing and, like, turned away from her. And she was like,
so you're being fucking sketch.
Yeah. And so she was like, and he continued knocking. Like, at this point, he's, like, erratic.
What the hell?
So, Yvonne went outside to talk to him.
Yeah.
And he ended up meeting her, like, halfway between the houses. Sorry. And Yvonne was quoted as saying, I knew something was off, so I just grabbed the newspaper from him and ran home. So, she literally whips this newspaper out of this dude's arm.
Yeah.
And, like, books ass back into her house. And he chases her. And he yells at her, no, Yvonne, don't look at that. Don't look at it. Like, he does not want her to see what's in that newspaper.
I was wondering why did she know to take it?
Because of how sus he was acting with it.
Okay. Interesting. Yeah.
I just used the word sus. Wow.
I feel like you definitely used that before.
Have I? Oh, yeah. I don't remember ever using it.
When you
I
say, bad. Like, young whippersnapper shit all the time.
I know, it just threw me
like,
off.
What the fuck did you say last week? Bombastic?
Boombastic side eye.
Is that what it is? I don't, like, what the fuck is that? You make Criminal me feel so old.
Criminal offensive side eye.
You make me feel so old. And I'm younger than you.
Like I said, as long as you feel young in your brain and your heart, it will reflect on your entire body.
No, I'm like, I can't hang with these children. Like, they drive me nuts.
Oh, I don't hang with them either.
No, I mean, like, in any way. Like, I can't, the way they talk, the shit they do on the TikToks.
Oh, I can't do that. My body's too old. I'll be honest with you. Like, I would love to learn K-pop dances, but I can't because I cannot keep up. I'm just too slow.
Yeah, they're a lot.
They're so good at it. Anyway, I digress. Left side, let's go.
Tally!
So, when I'm on the freight, you should have, like, 10 at this point.
I'm tallying how many times I'm sidetracking us
I
instead.
Love it. So, when Yvonne actually looks at the paper, she immediately knew it was Sharon. And she was quoted as saying, I knew it was her. I knew her shoes.
Mm.
Which, I don't know if I've ever told you this, but I actually have an ex-coworker who had a coworker who realized that his son was a victim of Columbine because he saw his shoes poking out under the sheet on the stretcher, and he had just bought him custom made Nikes.
Oh my god!
And so he knew that they were his. There are so many parents that have actually recognized their children being deceased by their shoes.
Right.
It is mind blowing to me.
Oh my gosh.
And it takes me back to Holocaust too. Like, I don't know if anyone's ever seen that, but like, seeing the amount of shoes of victims, like, there's something about shoes that, like, really gets me on these cases, and this is one of them. She literally recognized her daughter's shoes. And I've seen the newspaper. Bro, the 70s gave zero fucks about censoring anything. It's literally her body is in the photo. They had to blur it out on one of the, like, images that I found.
Oh, my gosh.
It's full-on shot of the entire crime scene. Like, I don't know how they got away with that kind of stuff, but, like, that's what her mother saw.
Oh.
It's depressing.
That's terrible.
Yeah. And that's why she said, I knew it was her. I saw her shoes. Saw it. Oh.
Well, I mean, her whole body, it sounds like.
Yeah. Well, I'm surprised. Yeah, there's a thing about her body that I'll get into.
Mm.
So, the newspaper had a photo of her body in the snow, and she was actually found in the city of Longdale, which is about 25 minutes from the point, which is where she was living.
Okay.
So, Yvonne realizes that Sharon was gone at this point, and she was actually quoted as saying, that's how I saw it. No one came to speak to me.
Oh my gosh.
So, she actually phones the police right away. After this, yeah, because she's like, fuck? I need confirmation. No, you haven't called me. You haven't said shit to me. Like, I know this is my kid. Like, come talk to me about it. And she said when she called, they basically told her, like, she needed to come identify the body. And she couldn't do it. And I don't blame her. I wouldn't be able to do it either. Right. So she actually had to ask her brother to go in her place to identify her daughter's body.
Right. And, like, you don't see the problem here that I had to fucking call you to say, like,
pretty sure that's my kid.
Right.
Like, you're going to tell me anything? Man. And then they go, oh, no, but you need to come identify her. Excuse me?
What the fuck?
And then I feel bad that she had to send her brother in her place. Like, you know that hurt her.
Right.
You know that hurt him. Like,
excuse me. Oh, my gosh.
He ends up positively identifying her. And so Sharon was actually found April 1st of 1975 by a local beekeeper. I can't say his name because it's in French. It's Francois something or other. And I
can try to read it.
I don't have it on here because I didn't even try to put it on here to pronounce it because I knew I'd butcher it, to be quite honest with you.
Okay.
And I'm trying to not be rude and butcher everything that I say.
I respect that. I'm the same way.
So, he had previously been informed that the gate to where he kept his bees was unlocked, and that wasn't common.
Right.
He had locked, it's a padlock.
Yeah.
So, it has a key to open it. He had locked that every night before, and he said that night was no different.
Right.
But when he got there, to his surprise, like, the lock was open, wasn't tampered with.
So, like, someone had a key, or they, like...
My guess is they picked it.
Right, yeah.
Because you can pick a lock with it, making it look like it wasn't tampered right. with.
And honestly, like, those padlocks, even if you got, like, a so paperclip... easy. To, yeah, try to do, like...
I used to pop mine at school all the time.
Yeah.
So when he opened the door, there's like a access road to get mm-hmm. to like, it's a pretty big space.
Yeah.
That's gated.
Do you have like a whole apiary?
Yes. And stuff? Yeah. Yep. Yep. So he was walking down the access road and then he came upon a body that was nude from the waist down.
Oh, whoa.
And it was about 75 feet from the road.
Yeah.
So this is where the investigation begins, and I'm going to give you a heads up right now, trigger warning. I have to kind of talk about her body and, like, what happened to her in order to, like, give you an idea of how horrendous
this
was for this
went through
beautiful child. Right. Like, it is awful. So, ugh. Trigger warning. She was brutally murdered. She had been assaulted. She had been raped. She had been beaten badly. And when they found her, she was only wearing her suede jacket, her blue sweater, and her socks and shoes that she was in the day she left. Her pants were actually found feet away from her, and her underwear were tossed into a tree.
What the fuck?
Yeah. So, like, he was so forceful that he took off her underwear and her pants without her shoes and socks.
Mm.
And they stayed on. Like, that's how brutal this dude was.
Oh my gosh.
They also found at the crime scene, there was a, like... There was some partially chewed tape that had been tangled in her hair and was in the branches. There were branches that were in her hands that also had it. So she also had branches in her hand, which indicated to the police that she was alive when her murderer left her in the snow.
Oh my god!
There's a couple other things that indicate this. The way that her legs were bent tells them that she was actually trying to get up,
right?
But she did not have the strength to do so.
Oh, honey.
And many things were actually found at the scene. The first thing was that there were tire tracks that were located about 15 feet from her body.
Mm-hmm.
And then there was a trail of blood from where that vehicle had been parked to her body. Her shoes, again, with the shoes, showed no sign of mud, which indicated to them that she had been carried out of the vehicle. She had not walked anywhere on that crime scene.
Right.
Police also found a man's dress shirt that they believed had been used to bind her wrists.
The fuck?
The size of this shirt was a 17-inch collar and a 34-inch sleeve. Okay. So that indicated that he was at least 6 feet tall.
Okay.
It's Which, a big
it
shirt.
It narrows down. Yeah. It's like,
it's tall. Yeah, it is tall. Investigators also found a perfect imprint of a right foot, like a right shoe print, in the mud next to the gate entrance, showing that he was an 8.5, and the depth
that's
of the
small
shoe print
feet for a 6 foot tallish man.
That's in men's sizes, so I don't know.
That's very small feet.
Isn't that like 6 in a women's or something?
Yeah, that's small.
True. I mean, I got a big ass feet for a 5'6" girl though. So, you know, it happens, all right? It happens. Just the other way around.
Just for, like, him being that tall.
I know.
Surprising.
It was surprising. The shoe print also, the way that it was left and how deep the imprint was told them that this was a pretty heavy person, too.
Yeah.
Like, not, like, fat, but, like, clearly 7 foot.
Yeah.
You're going to have, they clearly
Stocky,
have some,
at least.
Some.
Yeah.
Some on them, right?
Right.
So in addition to this, investigators also found a page from an English magazine that was depicting a young girl and a gun, which they thought was odd. A car seat cushion. Like, not a car seat, like a baby car seat. Like an actual seat
like
in
a
the
cover.
Car.
Oh, okay. Okay. I get what you're saying.
Because back in the 70s, those used to come out.
Right,
like, you could remove the bottom ones.
Well, yeah, because I didn't fucking care about seatbelts and none of that shit.
No.
So, I mean, seatbelts were, like, starting to become mainstream.
Yep. So they found that, and then they found a ring with the word love inscribed on it. They also found a receipt with the name Sharon Pryor on it.
Okay.
Due to the effortlessness of this crime, because it looks very effortless. It looks like they literally just came in, dropped her, and went on their way. Like,
and, like, didn't give a shit what they left behind.
Yeah,
like, none of that.
Yep. And so they feel like, with the placement of her body and all of that, that there may have been more than one killer. Oh. Because okay. of how, like, cut and dry it really was, yeah. which is unfortunate.
Right.
I'm going to give one more trigger warning because I'm about to talk about the autopsy results.
Okay.
So, trigger warning here as well. They showed a few things, starting with the time of death. They figured out that the time of death was about 20 hours before she was discovered.
That's a good chunk of time.
Mm-hmm.
Jeez.
So, that really makes me question a lot of things, especially with, like, how her feet were and how they were saying it looked like she was trying to stand up.
Right.
I think she was just tossed there at that point. Because if she had passed 20 hours before she was found, I mean, I guess she still could have been
alive. It very well could have been that she was, like, dying, on the but brink still of death. Had, yeah, like, was yeah. still somewhat there
yeah.
and was just trying to see if Move. She could possibly, yeah, get herself out of there.
It's so bad.
They
also determined that she had been held captive for days. They found...
It was the 29th to the 1st, right? So it couldn't have been longer than two days.
It Jeez. Wasn't. They found that her... this is where I'm going to get brutal, just so you know. They found that her chest had been crushed, possibly from the killer leaning on it.
What the fuck?
And it actually led to hemorrhaging, which is what they think killed her. Her head showed so many injuries from a pointed object that police believe it was a ring. So she was punched multiple times in the head and face. She had fractures on both sides of her jaw, bruising on her face. She actually had a hole in her cheek, which they believe was caused from a tooth during the attack. And her nose was also broken. And she was raped.
That poor girl.
Yeah, she went through a lot.
Yeah, what a fucking horrendous way to go. I mean, anyone being murdered, like, it's always horrendous, but my gosh.
Well, and she's 16.
Yeah, exactly. Like, she's a fucking 16-year-old girl.
Yeah.
Against,
like, you did not need to do that.
Possibly two fucking men. Are you kidding me?
Yeah, you did not need to do that.
Gosh.
It was ridiculous. April 4th of 1975, Sharon was actually laid to rest with more than 200 people in attendance.
Aww.
Which I thought was really pretty.
That's amazing.
The police felt that they could find her killer, but months went by with absolutely nothing. And again, you have to remember the time frame. This is the 1970s. It's the mid-70s. Right. Like,
it's like fingerprints were literally like the best they could fucking do at that point.
Truthfully. And honestly, like, I will say I feel like the police dropped the ball, and I'll explain that a little bit later.
Yeah.
But, like, they were positive on the fact that they thought they could do it, and then they couldn't. Because they had truly shit worth nothing to go off of.
Well, and, like, to be fair, like, I wouldn't have blamed them for thinking that because there was so much left behind, but it sounds like it was mostly her stuff that was left behind.
Yes, it was all
aside
her.
From the tape and the shirt.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yep. And the shoe print. But that literally could have been a shoe that was extremely popular at the time.
Yep. So, police said that they interviewed 38 people, and 6 of them were suspects that they looked into that fit the role of Sharon's murderer.
Suspects. I like that. We just start calling it suspects.
You suck.
Courtney, speak.
I don't know why that tickled me so much.
It's just, I'm witty like that. Without even trying. Oh, dear. So, they said that 6 of them looked like they could fit the role of Sharon's murderer.
Okay.
But they were released due to lack of evidence. They literally couldn't pin them with anything.
And it's like, you can't be like, well, you fit the general, like, schematics of this motherfucker, but doesn't mean they did it.
So, we're gonna get into a really cool dude. His name is Greg McCrary. It's a very
McCreary or McCreary?
Crary. It's C-R-A-R-Y.
Okay.
But Mick is in front. Yeah. He was a former FBI profiler.
Nice.
And he actually set up a profile on his own without being asked. Like, wasn't asked to be involved in this case.
Nah.
Did it anyway.
Nice.
Because he wanted to.
Fuck yeah, he did.
Of her murderer and who he believed killed her.
That's awesome.
Yeah. So he started with saying that he believed the killer was young and in his 20s and possibly living in the area with his parents.
Mm.
He felt like this was not his first time.
Yeah.
He felt like Cheryl's attacker. So remember, Cheryl's the 23-year-old mm-hmm. that was attacked. I'm going to say that just so that we don't confuse names because right. I confuse them a lot.
Very close.
Yes. Yeah. He felt like her attacker could actually be the same man.
That's kind of what I thought from the start.
That attacked honestly. And abducted yeah. and then murdered Sharon.
Right.
He's quoted as saying, when killers get it in their head, in their, quote, mindset, mm-hmm. they are more likely to risk more, yep. such as a second abduction.
Yep.
He also stated that having two men of the same mindset in the same area is almost impossible, mm-hmm. as the attacker had to be comfortable with the area and they had to be, like, know where they left her body and, like, know those places.
Right.
Like,
and what are the odds that it would happen, like, that close together? They didn't have any other, like, serial killer type mm-hmm. things happening. Like, what are the
and
odds?
Also, like, these are high risk areas, remember right. that, like, the very public,
right,
and the fact that you would have two people do that,
yeah,
slim to none.
Exactly. Unless they were working together,
right, which no, it really comes out at this point in time that mm-hmm. they're not working together, and yeah. it is not two people, right. It is one person. So Greg actually concluded that the attacker showed signs of a sadist, which if you guys don't know, I did the definition of it because you if you mm-hmm. don't know, you need to know. So a sadist is a person who takes pleasure in inflicting pain, punishment, or humiliation on others.
Mm-hmm. And that would make perfect sense for the overkill and the rape.
So he's quoted as saying typical sadists will find victims among people they know.
Mm-hmm.
They appear to be nice and charming at first.
Yeah.
And to a vulnerable young woman, it'll work.
Mm-hmm.
They then slowly become more demanding as he molds her in order to better control her.
Right.
Before moving on to degrading and roughing her up. Eventually, they run out of complying victims and they turn to, and these are not my words, this is a quotation, escorts, which mm-hmm. we don't call them that anymore. They are sex workers.
Right.
Where they develop...
They're trafficked.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Where they develop a friendship for... Or, like, a relationship for being weird and violent.
Mm.
And then, when that avenue actually runs out, they begin to hunt strangers.
Jeez, the fuck?
It's a whole system.
Yeah.
It's wild. He suggested that police investigate a man who had minor domestic arrests or solicitations.
Mm-hmm.
Because Cheryl's attacker used a knife on the streets, he believed that he did not have, like, a strong interpersonal skill.
Yeah.
And that he also felt, because of this, they were probably the same person that murdered Sharon and then also attacked Cheryl.
Yeah. Honestly, it makes sense. Like we said, what would the odds be?
Right. So Sharon's murderer and Cheryl's attacker clearly figured out quickly they would not be able to smooth talk these women.
Right.
So they resorted to using their fist and weapons to subdue these women.
Fuck you, man.
I know, it's disgusting. He also felt that because this was a stranger-based abduction, the killer would have been considered a serial killer and a murderer who would not stop on his own.
Yep.
So that was his entire profile, which I feel like nailed it.
Yeah.
Truthfully.
Yep.
So at this point, and based off the profile created, police start actually trying to connect this murder of Sharon's
mm-hmm.
and trying to find a suspect.
Right.
Interestingly enough, we do actually have another victim that is similar.
Yeah.
So on that, her name is Tammy Leakey.
Okay.
She was actually 12 years old when she was murdered. Tammy was actually found 6 years after Sharon.
Jeez, holy hell.
And they felt that Sharon was a very hard victim for this killer to control.
Mm-hmm.
So they then sought out younger victims for their next because of how hard she was to handle. So the similarities between the two cases are far too close to ignore. So remember the date that Sharon went missing.
Mm-hmm.
March 29th. Okay, on March 20th of 1981, Tammy had been visiting the point to see her grandmother when she disappeared mere blocks from where Sharon went missing.
Okay.
And it's March 20th, like 9 days before Sharon went missing 6 years later.
Jeez.
Which is wild.
That's fucking crazy. It's like they have a killing season.
I swear to God they do.
Ugh.
So Tammy is actually sent to the store to pick up some milk. She unfortunately never returned. Her mother found her glasses on the sidewalk, which caught her attention immediately. She called police right away. It was like, bro, something's wrong.
Can you imagine that mama bear, like, her daughter's missing and she finds her fucking glasses?
I give parents who find children or objects of theirs when they go missing, like, I give them some mad props because that I can't even imagine like, what that feels. It makes me
nauseous for them.
Oof. So, she calls the police right away. Later that afternoon, a man actually found a body. And she displayed the same type of assault as Sharon had 6 years prior. She had been raped. She had been beaten. Her head, her sternum had been broken. Like, she had hemorrhaged. Almost the same exact stuff had happened to her that Sharon had had happen.
Right.
And Tammy's case also unsolved, along with a lot of similar cases dating back to Sharon's murder.
Jeez.
So, unfortunately, Sharon's case goes cold, Tammy's case goes cold, and I mean 4 years, this case goes cold.
My gosh.
So, in 2000, so remember, she went missing and was found dead in 1975. Holy in 2000, hell. Her mom, Yvonne, which I already told you is, like, her biggest advocate in this case.
Absolutely.
Went to police asking them to please reopen her case and review the evidence again as technology, especially in the forensic world, had advanced so much.
Right.
Like, she took it upon herself to go and be like, hey, you want to open this case again?
Right. I mean, just like she had to fucking take it upon herself to reach out to the police.
Oh, it gets worse. So she shortly gets a letter about a week later. A letter, mind you, from the police.
Can't even be bothered to fucking call her.
Nope. And they tell her that they can't. And you want to know why they can't? Is because they have nothing to review. So the police actually discarded a majority of the evidence from Sharon's case
in
1995.
Of course they did.
In 95. You have a cold case and you discarded evidence? Are you kidding me?
And I'm sorry, Canadians, but this is my beef with the RCMP because I feel like this happens in so many cases that I research. Whereas, like, other countries, our country, like, we back on our country all the time.
Right.
All the fucking time. But they held on to shit.
Yes.
With the notion that technology was going to advance.
Yes.
So much.
Yes.
And the fact
that they did this in 1995, that's only, what, 2 years before, like, DNA really started.
Right, because, yeah, it was, like, 97.
Out. Yeah, I think it was 98.
97, 98, yeah.
Yeah, but, like, are you for real, bro? Seriously. I was so mad. I literally talked.
And why wait that long?
Thank you.
If you've already waited that long, just fucking keep it. Like, what is it doing to you at that point?
It's not doing anything to anybody else.
Right.
You keep it in evidence locker.
I feel like there should be a law that you have to keep evidence from any unsolved fucking case.
Oh, yeah, I don't think you should be allowed to get rid of it.
Right. Period. Unless it passes, like, a 50-year threshold mark, even then I don't think it should. But, like,
no.
You know.
I don't think there should be a threshold.
Right.
But that's just me.
Gosh.
So, even though this was horrible for her, Yvonne, she kept pushing. And she asked them to review Sharon's clothes.
Good for her.
Because, thankfully, those weren't discarded. So, they had her clothes and the shirt that was used to restrain her still in evidence.
Right.
And Sharon was like, I need you to please run this again, period. Like, she kept bugging them, and they finally did it.
Right.
So the police ran her clothes, and guess what? DNA came up that wasn't Sharon's.
Jeez.
No surprise, dumbasses. Right. Sorry, exactly. That's rude to say, but I'm pissed
that's
that
not
they,
rude to say.
I'm pissed that dumbasses. They took so long.
If the shoe on the dumbass fits.
Right? So they've got this DNA.
Oh.
But they still don't have anything to do with it.
Right.
Which is really frustrating.
Mm-hmm.
But in July of 2004, police actually received a tip. Why it was so much later, I have no idea. And I specifically wrote that because it blows my mind that she passed away in 75, but in 2004, someone's like, oh, by the way, I got a tip, bro.
Yeah. Like, oh, I just remembered something. I mean, it happens, but it's
it
like,
it does,
still.
But like, you couldn't have said that in 75?
Right. They may have been skirt back then.
I have no idea.
Who knows?
But they receive a tip that of a garage where Sharon might have actually been kept before she was murdered.
Jeez.
This garage was located behind an apartment complex, and police did a full sweep of it for DNA. They pulled up 3 samples, but not a single one of them was a match to Sharon or to the murderer's profile. Because they have the murderer's DNA now, but it doesn't match. So Sharon's case goes cold and unsolved for another 46 years, bro. That's 46 years.
Insane. Absolutely insane.
But, like I said, we have updates. Because this is where I was going to leave it.
Right.
Because it's literally unsolved at this point. They don't know who did it. Ugh. They have DNA. But guess what? Holy shit. Things get wild. So get ready. So last year.
We just laughed exactly the same. This was really off-putting.
Gross.
I didn't like it.
Stop copying
me. It made me feel weird.
Well, that's your fault.
It gave me the ick.
Icky, icky, icky. Sorry, that's a song.
Is that a K-pop song?
Yeah.
Oh, gosh.
Sure is. It's by a co-ed group called Card, K-A-R-D, and they're very amazing. I love them. They actually just dropped their mini album.
I swear you
Icky.
Make some of the shit up because you come up with new names like every time I see you. And I'm like, how many are there?
There's a lot of them.
Anyway,
next. Okay. Last year, and I'm not sure how to say this. Longueuil.
Longueuil?
Longueuil. Okay, that's what I'm gonna say. Longueuil. So, last year, Longueuil police made a DNA match through familial DNA.
Yeah, they did.
Between relatives and the DNA found on the men's t-shirt used to restrain Sharon.
So then how's this still unsolved?
Well, that's what I'm getting into. So, like I said, last year is when this hit came up. They had no idea whose DNA this was. It wasn't matching to anybody's.
Right.
And there's a reason behind that, and I'll explain that a little bit later.
Okay.
So, they finally get a hit. So, on June 8th of 2022, guys, like, freaking
nuts.
Almost a year ago now at this point.
Right.
The lab in Montreal placed the DNA profile in a database for comparison and linked it to a surname of Romaine.
Okay. Like the lettuce,
Yep. So, I know, I looked at it too and I was like, Romaine lettuce, dope, sweet. So the police then used this surname to search through databases and actually learned...
Yeah, because it's not like it's a common name.
No. Actually learned that a Franklin Romaine once lived just about 10 kilometers, which for those of us in America who don't know that system, roughly 6 miles, from Sharon.
Very close.
Mm-hmm. They learned that he'd actually died in Verdun.
I fucking had a feeling.
In 1982.
See? Okay. Because that's what I was going to say. With the person that came forward, still, even then, if that is the guy and they waited that long, but still, it's like, my immediate thought was the person that did it died, and that's why they thought they could come forward.
Yeah.
Fucking A. Sorry to interrupt.
No, you're good. And his body is actually buried in West Virginia, which I will explain that as well.
Okay. Because you immediately saw me cock my head back like,
I know, your head went, what? So, according to Quebec court records, Romaine lived in Montreal in 1975.
Okay.
He received a ticket for a highway code infraction and was arrested by the RCMP in 1975.
What was the infraction, did they say?
I'll get into it in a second. The arrest appears to have been based off of an extradition request from request from the U.S. to have Romaine returned to stand trial for a rape that he committed in West Virginia.
Oh, it's a big old piece of shit.
Yeah. Okay. So in 1974, he was actually arrested for breaking into a woman's house and raping her in Parkersburg, West Virginia. He was released on a $2,500 bail bond 2 months later and fled to Canada, according to the Associated Press story.
What the fuck? And I am not making any, like, you know, rape, sexual assault, any cases lesser. But it just really fucking gets my goat when people break into someone's house to do that.
Oh, absolutely.
You are literally taking every advantage of that person. Oh. You're
invading their personal space.
Exactly. You are ruining the place that they are supposed to feel safest.
Yes.
And it fucking...
Just because you can.
Right.
Like, not even because you have a real reason.
Your dick in your pants.
Yep. Okay. So, the police ended up tracking down Romaine's living relatives. He's got relatives.
Okay.
Interesting enough, they found his brothers. He has 2 brothers.
Damn.
Living in the U.S. One of the brothers said that he believes that Romaine could have been the person behind Sharon's sexual assault. He called it sexual assault.
I get it. Nope. Mm-mm.
No, I get it from the extent of, like, who he is. I understand why he said it that way.
But it is not the same. Sexual assault is very different.
Very different from rape. Than rape.
Call it what it is.
But it's interesting. That's sad
when your own brother's like, yeah, he's a piece of shit. I could see that.
Oh, but this is where it gets weird. It's because he says that he believes that it was him because Romaine actually tried to rape his wife while he was serving in the Marines.
What the fuck?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Dude!
Yeah. He's actually quoted as saying he probably did it. Literally, that's his exact words. Yeah.
This dude is just... like, what the fuck?
Mm-hmm.
He doesn't even care.
Mm-hmm.
Oh my gosh, that is insane.
So, in the petition, that's what his brother's quote is to the police force in Canada. When they wanted their DNA, they asked for their DNA. The other brother, who lives in Florida, said that he believes Franklin Maywood Romaine, that's his whole name, was actually killed in 1982 because... the weird part about this, and I think I actually get into it later on, his death was very odd.
Was he incarcerated when he died or no? No. Okay.
And there's, like, no record of death. There's no, like, reason for death. Like, he has a gravestone.
Yeah.
His body's there.
That was going to be my next question. Yes. Like, is his body actually there?
Yeah. But they, like, there's a lot of questions behind his death.
How did they find him? Like, what was...
They don't have it. Nothing. There's no record. Then
how did they know who reported him dead?
There's no record.
That's like his family doesn't even know?
No, his family knows. Like, that's what I'm saying. His brother's like, I know that's him. Like, he's dead. He's buried right here.
Like, no, but like, they didn't say how...
They don't even know. Nobody knows how it happened. There's no record of what happened to him to cause him to die.
Well, that's what I'm asking. Like, did they say, like, the police just notified them and that was it?
Yeah, that's literally it. There's no record of death. There's no record of cause of death. There's none of that. Just a headstone and a body. It just
tells me that they didn't really give a shit because I would have, like, done an autopsy.
I don't think they cared, truthfully.
That's what
depending
it sounds
on
like.
What the brothers are saying. Like, and there was other things, too, said, like, they weren't very close to him because he was in and out of jail all the time. Yeah. He was always in trouble. Like...
and he's shit bag.
Yeah, and, like, these two are, like, very distinct on the fact
well,
of, like...
well, the one brother's probably like, fuck you very much, dude.
Yeah, so they were very, like, hands off for the most part. So their DNA samples were actually sent to a lab in Montreal, and the lab determined that it's 140 million times more likely that the brothers of the sibling who supplied the DNA samples is the person behind the DNA found on Sharon's clothing, rather than a random person of Caucasian population. So while the brothers both did agree to provide their DNA samples, they did not consent to having their brother's remains exhumed because their parents are actually buried next to their brother's plot. Oh,
that's fair.
Yeah, so, and I get that.
Yeah.
However, in the letter filed in the courts in an effort to prevent the exhumation. Thank you. The brothers agreed to give their DNA samples should they have been enough evidence, like, to provide a closure to to Sharon's family.
Right. But, I mean, like, those odds, like, it was fucking him.
Yeah. So, oh, this is where I get into the brother's quote. He said, we really didn't know our brother as he was in and out of jail or prison from the age of 12 or 14 his death in Canada in 1982.
The fuck was he doing at 12 or 14 years old?
Breaking and entering, he was
sexually assaulting people. Serial killer in the making.
Like, he literally had started at a young age. A judge actually ended up granting the request for the exhumation of...
exhumation.
Thank you. Exhumation. Of remains. And they
But why did it go against their wishes? Like, the brother's wishes? Because it's not like they're saying, like, no, don't do it. Like, they had a valid reason.
Because they need a positive...
yeah, I guess.
Like, an actual, yes, 100%, this is who did it.
Yeah.
So, he was removed May 2nd, 2023.
Holy fuck!
Literally a few weeks ago. That's how, like...
have the results not come back yet?
Oh, I'm getting into that.
Okay. Because you had said, like, it's still unsolved, so that's why I was asking.
Yep.
Okay.
And they also had two members of the police force that were present for this, as well as a spokesperson for the police force, which I thought was interesting.
Right.
Because they want to show that they care and they're actually trying because they didn't before.
Yeah. Which is interesting because they had to come all the way from Canada to West Virginia for this.
Oh, yeah.
It's not in Canada that this is happening.
Interesting.
So the petition filed in West Virginia seeking permission for the body to be removed notes that the police sent items to, and I'm not even going to try to say this name because it is all in French and it is literally 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 words long. But basically it's a laboratory of science in Montreal. And they analyzed for traces of DNA in 2015 and in 2022.
Dang. Okay.
Yeah. The 23rd of 2023.
Damn.
May. Guys, like literally 5 days ago, I think. Yeah. Something like that.
Yeah, because it's the 28th.
Police had an official press conference stating that they had solved one of the highest profile cold cases in Quebec history. Linking the 1975 rape and murder of the 16-year-old Sharon Pryor to a West Virginia man who died more than 40 years ago. Mm-hmm. Police in Quebec said that the DNA evidence allows them to be 100% certain that Franklin Maywood Roaming murdered the teenager Sharon Pryor in the Montreal suburb. Police say that the DNA of Romaine, who had a long criminal history, matches the sample found at the murder scene, and he also matched the witness physical description of the suspect.
Damn. And what about with Cheryl's Tammy's attack? Did they?
They have not linked it. I don't think Tammy had, from what I could find, I didn't see that there was any DNA evidence that they could use for her case.
Okay.
I don't know if her stuff got tossed out, too. She was in 1981, so I'm not really sure. I didn't go down a big rabbit hole on that one because I knew this was already this is longer than I thought. Because I originally thought it was going to be shorter until I found all this information.
Exactly.
And so I didn't want to go too far into it. I figured I would either just do her case separately and see if there were any updates on it. But I didn't see any, and they haven't been able to link it other than the similarities of the two.
Well, that's amazing that they were able to finally link it, that her mom can finally have that closure.
Yeah, because her mom and siblings are still alive.
Wow.
Yeah.
What a piece of shit.
And they talked about it a little bit in some of the articles I said, and, like, it brings them peace knowing that, you know, they know who it is.
Right.
And he's not alive anymore.
Right.
But it also sucks because, like, they feel like you can't do anything when somebody dies, unfortunately. Like, you can't charge them with the murder. Like, it's kind of pointless at that point.
Well, it sounds like however he met his demise wasn't good.
I think there was a lot of weird stuff behind it because, like, it talks about it in all the articles that I posted. Like, every single one was like, his death was really weird. Like, there's nothing behind it. Nobody knows how. Nobody knows why. Like, it's very hush-hush. So, I don't know.
What a shit bag.
Yeah.
Oh, that poor girl. It's just heartbreaking. I've definitely heard about this, not in depth though, but like the pizza place, the hockey game, all of that I was familiar with.
And it's interesting too, because Tammy was murdered 6 years after Sharon.
Right.
And he died 7 or 8 years after Sharon. So it's very plausible, in my opinion, that Tammy could also be a victim of his.
Yeah.
Yeah. And they had
more too.
Right. And they're sure there's more, but like
definitely more rape victims.
Yeah. And the thing is they just don't have that DNA evidence.
Right.
It hasn't come up on any of the other stuff.
Well, and they're just tossing shit out all willy nilly anyway.
Yeah.
Jeez.
So.
Well, I'm so glad that they solved it. I mean, I'm not glad that he wasn't able to, you know,
pay for his crimes.
Yeah, for the justice that he needed to, but like I said, seems like his demise was...
I'm here for it. Yeah. Like, I hope he died a fiery death.
Yep.
That boy needs Jesus.
Yep.
No, he doesn't. He doesn't even deserve that.
Yeah. What a fucker. But thank you for telling her story. I am so glad. And I mean, like, what a time for you to cover it.
I know.
Just... discover it. Like I said, these cases call to us, man.
They do, bro. I was, like, shook. I was like, whoa, this is wild.
Yeah, that's awesome.
I was like, I was just looking up this stuff, and then all of a sudden, like, all these articles kept popping up, and it was like, found with DNA, found with DNA. And I was like, found with DNA? What are you talking about? Like, this case is old as shit. And then I was like, wait, that was 5 days ago. That's and then I started, crazy. Like, looking into these articles, and I was like, oh, they solved it. Right. Holy shit. It's not a cold case. That's like, I thought awesome. I was bringing a cold case to you guys, and I was really sad because it was a cold case. But then
I'm so 5 days ago, family, they
freaking solved it.
That's crazy. Sheesh.
Almost 50 years later.
Yeah.
At this point.
Holy shit.
Yeah.
That's crazy. Yeah, almost 50 years, 48 years.
Yep.
That's crazy. I'm so happy for her family, though, that they
Me too.
Got that. It's closure.
Closure regardless. Yeah. It just sucks.
Because he's not out there in the world able to hurt other people. Mm-hmm. So, you know, that's solace for them, I'm sure. But, good grief, that took so long to fucking solve.
It did. It took forever.
I mean, it makes sense, like, the time that passes before DNA is viable, but it's like, geez, if they hadn't fucking thrown shit away, he may not have had to be exhumed and they could have had this solved even longer ago.
Well, but I don't really know if that would have actually been the case because...
What was it again that they got the DNA?
They got it off her shirt.
Okay.
And the shirt that she was restrained with.
But I was thinking, like, the tape, too, like...
That was her. She had been biting at the tape. That was all her DNA.
Their prints or something.
That was all her DNA.
Jeez. Oy. Well, still. Bless DNA technology.
Hell seriously. Yeah. Especially familial DNA technology that's coming in clutch. It has
literally changed the world these last few years.
Hell yeah, it has, dude. Yeah. It is wild.
And I know there are so many cold cases that are going to come to close because of it.
Oh, I mean, we're already seeing
the Golden State Killer was huge. That was decades old.
That case broke
fucking,
like, D'Angelo. Records on DNA. Like,
yeah. Yep. I really think that's what's going to crack the JonBenet Ramsey case. Whenever Buller gets their heads out of their asses.
I have a lot of feelings on that. I don't think we're ever going to solve it. I think because Boulder fucked up and they don't want to admit to it.
Her dad and brother are, like, fighting tooth and nail.
I just don't think that there's going to be enough viable DNA because it's been tested so many times. That's my fear is that there's not going to be.
And I know they lost shit. I know you think the same thing, too, so.
Oh, I know for a fact they lost shit. That's why they're freaking out, too, because they're like, oh, my God, we lost it, and they're going to find out. Well, don't be a fucking idiot. You're going to have this problem. Yeah.
Well, we should wrap this one up, because it's
fabulous. I'm here thank for you it.
You're so welcome. Much for telling her story and for bringing that.
I'm glad I got to.
I'm so glad that she got her justice.
Me, too.
Man, it's been a great fucking few weeks for these babies to get some justice.
It has.
Wow.
I'm very excited with this case and how it turned out.
Yeah. So absolutely. Man. It's a good time. Yeah. I'm so glad that they solved it.
Me too.
That dude. I'll just kick him right in the fucking nuts if he were alive.
And she's so freaking pretty, dude. And she just had a good soul. Like, you could just tell, like, she was gonna go places.
Yeah, absolutely.
And
she was already making a mark on the world.
Hell yeah, she was. I'm sending you all the pictures right now, so you'll be like, what? She's so cute.
Well, if you would like to send us any case suggestions, we've got two on the docket.
Oh, we do?
Yeah, because I've got my one that my nephew suggested, and then we've got a listener that wrote one in as well. Well, and Erica, nudge, girl, we told you we would cover that case. We just need some more deets that you talked to us about a long time ago. So, I'm going to message her again about that, actually.
Fabulous.
Yeah. So, but all that to say, if you have any of your own cases that you like to just, oh my gosh, my mouth is tired and my tongue is tired. It's just like the bed.
I'm like, what are you doing?
If you have any cases that you'd like to send us to cover, we prefer them via email because it's easier for us to organize and not lose track of. Our email is inthenickofcrimepodcast@gmail.com. You can also send them to us on Instagram or TikTok. It'll take us a lot longer to respond on TikTok because we forget it exists. And we're so sorry. I'm not even going to make excuses for that again because we keep saying, I can't figure out TikTok.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Anyway.
all of our other stuff is in our link tree. It's in our show notes.
Yes. Click it or tick it.
I wasn't gonna say click it because I know you were waiting.
I'm gonna say it.
Cray's a noob. She's like, this is my chance. Click your ticket.
You like it. Why did I say that so, like, provocative? Like, I was like, you like it.
And then you went.
Yeah, and then I made some weird-ass slurping noise. Ew. Disgusting. Shut it. Anyway.
You tell me to shut it?
No, I'm talking to myself, to be quite honest with you.
God.
I'm judging myself very harshly right now. I'm not a fan of it. I do that
to myself all the time, so.
Bruh.
Let's go. Did you say fart?
No.
It's not like you said fart, bruh. It's like, is this a new thing that the young whippersnappers are saying?
No.
Fart, bruh.
No.
Like,
say,
far out.
I say bruh all the time.
Far out, I but say it's bro, just like dude. They shorten it to fart, bruh.
Everybody. Everybody in my life is a bro, dude, or my bro, or my dude. I always say those to everybody. I don't know why.
Do you know the dude is a whale penis?
I do. I mean,
I call people dude all the time.
My dad used to call me dudette when I was a kid.
I've gotten that a lot. Mm-hmm. We need to wrap this up. Jeez.
I was trying to. Anyway, so with that, my lovely creepies and freakies. What are you doing?
Every time you try to go off on a tangent, it gets real fucking weird.
Why do you gotta call me out? Let me do it. Okay, keep it creepy and stay freaky.
See you guys next Tuesday.
And bye.
Bye.
Ew, that was ugly.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye. I can't hit the stop button. Okay, bye.